Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Upgrade your kitchen today with Clearview Cabinetry. We offer a great selection of finishes made with the finest materials and built to withstand life's sticky messes. They provide features like soft closed doors and drawers and with cabinet accessories to match your unique style. View our selection of Clearview Cabinetry on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find plenty of great deals happening this week. Save big.
I mean, do what you want as long as everyone's safe.
Well, yeah, and consensual.
Well, obviously.
This podcast contains graphic descriptions that some listeners may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. Now, with that being said, welcome to the Mortal Musings podcast.
Right, let's do this. Right, I want to do the start of this time because I have...
You've got something to say.
I fucking have. So I've got a new follower on Instagram. Now, this bastard has an Instagram page. It's a brand new account. I thought it was someone we knew trolling me. But it's not. So the page is called Neil Hate Page 123. And basically, all they do is keep putting posts up, slagging people off called Neil. They hate people who are called Neil. Like, I thought it was either someone we knew or a listener, and they were like, you know, you keep slagging Glenn, Kevin, stuff like that. So yeah, I'm going to make one for Neil.
But when we first came across the page, they were only following two Neils, yourself and Neil Diamond.
Yeah, well, Neil Diamond fan page, I think it is.
I thought it was the man himself.
No.
Oh.
So as soon as I saw this, I commented. I put, what the fuck, with question marks and a laughing emoji. Because it's a bit of fun. But they explained why they made the page. They replied to my comment and said, "Nothing against you, King. A Neil broke my heart. We were going to marry each other until he ran off with a woman called Nicola. I haven't been the same since. Be sure to tell your friends to follow the account." So I thought, I'll do better than that. I'll mention it on our pod.
Well, before I actually knew the backstory, the origin story of the hatred of Neil, I thought it was just, you know, a lighthearted hatred of Neil, a dislike.
Dick.
You know, yeah, just a general dislike of yourself and anyone who shares your name. And yeah. I'm proud to say that I was the first follower of the I Hate Neil fan page.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah, I'm proud of it. I really am.
So if anyone wants to start a I Hate Megan page.
Have at it, lads. I'm sure there's plenty of Megans out there who are just awful. Probably
Megan Fox.
Probably me included. What?
Megan Fox.
I don't know her personally.
Well, she went with fucking Machine Gun Kelly, so she's a... She's a bit of a dick.
I feel like Megan is one of those names where there's a lot of arseholes with that name.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're very bitchy.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. Rachel. That's another one for me.
No, I've known some Rachels who are nice.
I've never met a Rachel that was a particularly nice person.
Right. We have two shout outs. So the first one.
We do indeed.
You always have to.
I missed my cue there, so I had to just jump in with it.
I did actually pause as well.
I know you did, yeah.
Yeah. First one is Raz, right? So I'm thinking Razzle Dazzle.
The old Razzle Dazzle?
Yeah.
Yeah, so like, that's a good one.
You know, like Muhammad Ali?
Yeah.
He'd do the Ali Shuffle.
Yeah.
That was his Razzle Dazzle.
Yeah, hit you with the Razzle Dazzle.
No, he wouldn't hit you with it. It was his footwork. No,
I'm not saying about him specifically. I'm saying I'm going to hit you with the Razzle Dazzle.
Well, I'm
going to show you a bit of, you know, something a bit jazzy.
Yeah.
Hit you with the Razzle Dazzle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Razzle Dazzle.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I struggling with that? Razzle Dazzle.
You didn't even say the name. Raz.
I did.
Did Did you?
Yes, right at the beginning.
Oh, I thought you just said razzle dazzle.
No.
I apologize. Clearly, I don't give a fuck. I've zoned out. For me, I thought of On the Raz.
On his the head. Piss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely fucking locked.
Yeah.
Making a show of themselves.
Yeah. Raz, sort yourself out.
Yeah. Sick right? of it.
I tell you what, I'll send you a link to, you let me know whereabouts you are, and I'll send you a link to the local AA meetings, because you need fucking help. You can't keep going through life on the Raz.
You're hurting the people around you.
You can't just go through life on piss.
Can't do it.
Especially this economy.
Must be costing you a fucking fortune.
Yeah.
How are you doing it? Honest, I'm actually curious.
Well, they have a bit of spare change left over because they've joined a patron.
Maybe we're saving them from themselves.
Yeah.
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 You're welcome, Raz. Next shout out we have is for Valerie.
Val.
Val. So I have something I would like to say.
Okay.
The value of you, Valerie, being my Valentine, makes my valves feel validated. Be my Valkyrie and take me to Valhalla.
Make a valve what?
Makes my valves feel validated. That's really hard to say. I can't do it. What do you think of that?
Well, you've
a little poem for you there.
Yeah, you've outshone me. Yeah. All I could come up with, Tesco value. That's all I'd got.
Bit of a downer, that one, isn't it?
I was going to say the quality of Tesco value.
Remember when Tesco value was a thing? Yeah. They used to have their own brand. Yeah, you could get like the knockoff stuff.
Yeah, no, it's Tesco Val. Tesco
finest.
Yeah, finest.
Yeah,
yeah.
Can rip me off. Anyway, Raz, Valerie, thank you so much. We appreciate you.
We do.
Looking for a true crime podcast with a cozy yet dark vibe to binge?
Do you try to support mom and pop shops over huge franchises? Then maybe Crime and Coffee Couple is right for you.
I'm Allison.
And I'm Mike. Every week, Allison delivers a new, fascinating true crime story that she spent hours researching.
With each episode, we'll lead you into the dark corners of lesser-known cases, balancing chilling stories with respect and compassion for the victims.
You'll get to know a little bit about us and our true feelings about these terrible monsters. Listeners tell us it feels like they're sitting around the coffee table with their best friends.
Join us every Sunday at the Crime and Coffee Couple. Grab yourself a cup and pull up a chair.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, America. It's your new favourite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two-fourths of the British podcast No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.
So, what have you got for us today? And if it involves kiddies, you need to have a break away from kids.
I'm sorry, lads. I said it to Neil privately because I always give him a heads up if it's a case that involves kids. And I did mean to say it on the pod and completely forgot. I wanted to apologise because we did do a few episodes recently involving kids.
Three.
And I tried to kind of space out the types of cases and shit that we're covering because, it can be a bit heavy when you're hit with one after the other of a similar type of thing, particularly involving vulnerable people.
So you did three on the bounce?
I did, yeah. Well, no, there was a gap in between, wasn't there?
No.
Yeah, there was. There was Maddie Clifton, then we did Laura Hotling, then it was Michelle, and then Javed Iqbal.
Oh, sorry. There was one week gap.
I did give you a 1 week buffer, Neil. Now, don't exaggerate.
Yeah.
Today, we are going to be discussing hybristophilia.
Okay. You're just staring at me.
Are you wanting to make a comment or not? I didn't know if you were going to...
What do you mean?
Do you want me to just start? Or were you wanting to take a guess or anything?
Well, you know I have no idea what that fucking is.
I know, but you looked at me as if you were thinking for a sec. You might have had a good one-liner there.
No.
No?
No.
Nothing.
How can I have a one-liner for something I don't know what it is?
I mean, you speak a lot on stuff you don't know about. So
do I?
Yeah. No?
No. Just tell me the...
Play the fucking note.
Yeah.
So we've all heard of these people, predominantly women it seems, who get in contact with some of the most cunning, sadistic killers. And their intention seems to be to form a connection with these men. And a lot of the time, in a romantic sense.
Oh.
But why do they have this desire?
Because there aren't.
Hebristophilia is the attraction to those who commit crimes, and quite often violent crimes.
Oh.
Mm.
Well, they say women like a bad boy.
Well, they do indeed, but this is taking the piss, and I knew you were going to say that, and you know what came to mind straight away while writing this up?
Cain Dingle.
No.
Oh.
Why Cain Dingle?
Well, he was a bad un, weren't he?
I mean, he was one of the best on Emmerdale Farm.
Everyone loved how bad he was.
There's actually a reference to Emmerdale Farm in this episode, believe it or not.
Okay.
No, I was thinking of, if any of you guys have watched it, Gogglebox. Do you remember that very, very famous line? Well, we all like a bad boy, don't we? Not a fucking terrorist, though.
Yeah.
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 That's basically what we're dealing with here today. In some of the most extreme cases, we're dealing with the types of people who are infatuated with and shower serial sex offenders and killers with adoration. So let's talk about why a person might be inclined towards hebristophilia. Quite often, those who commit the most barbaric of crimes have endured significant trauma themselves. Possibly, these people seek to nurture those who offend for this reason, or that they identify with the abuse that the killer had previously been subjected to.
Yeah, but don't mean they fucking got the odds for them just because they've been through some of themselves.
But it's an attraction thing. I'm not saying it's specifically sexual, like fucking just complete and utter lust. You could be attracted to them as a partner,
Oh.
So it could be a sexual desire, or it could be, you know, they're looking for a partner and they're attracted to the person.
Right. Yeah, because I remember everyone had a thing for Ted Bundy, didn't they? And he was shagging corpses.
Yeah. In terms of physical attraction, I never really saw it with Ted Bundy. But I mean, a big thing with him is everyone said he was incredibly charismatic, which for me is a trigger word now. Maybe they believe that they can, quote unquote, fix them, seeking glory for being the only one who could change their ways. Or they perceive these dangerous individuals as strong and powerful figures who can hold dominance over them.
Not really.
What do you mean, not really?
Well, like, strong and dominant, but it's coward to prey on people weaker than them. They'll, like, ambush them and stuff like that. It's never a fair fight.
Well, that is why I said they possibly perceive them as that.
Oh. I missed that.
Mm.
Okay.
And it's also, like I said, in terms of if they want to feel dominated, they like a partner who is more dominating over them.
Right. Is that what you went for with me?
No.
Oh.
Mm. What if, like Neil said previously, they have that whole bad boy complex? They can act out this fantasy in a somewhat controlled environment. Maybe they are simply seeking attention or financial gain, and they know that this is one hell of a way to go about it.
You're playing a risky fucking game there, though.
Yeah.
So, say you're with one of these people. You're never going to be like, tie me up, do what you want to me.
Mm.
You don't know what's going to fucking happen.
I mean, you would think, but if they're kind of blinded by lust or love or what have you, possibly they might put a bit too much faith in these people.
Yeah.
What if the person themselves is incredibly controlling and or distrusting? They may search for a partner who they know their whereabouts at all times, and they are the person's only or main link to the outside world. Another option is they like the idea of having a partner, but they don't want to deal with the woes of a more traditional day-to-day relationship. You know you have someone there, but you're not really dealing with the pick up your fucking socks, why didn't you do the dishes? Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
The majority of us may not be hebristophiliacs, but there are many of us who are fascinated by these people and why they do these things, just without the maybe sexual aspect.
Yeah. Like true crime podcasters.
Well, this is what I mean. So we may not have that attraction to them, but there's a certain level of attraction in terms of interest and fascination.
Yeah.
So if you're going to say, like, this is bizarre, it's like, well, there is a certain degree of where we all want to know a bit more.
Well, it's like I've said before, this all true crime podcasting is like, it's an evolving way of people watching hangings and stuff like that back in the day. It's that morbid curiosity.
100%. I couldn't agree with you more. People like to act as if true crime is this like new massive explosion. And yeah, there is a lot more media covering it, a lot more attention being focused on it now.
Mm.
But let's not act like we haven't always been horrific, morbid bastards.
Yeah.
It's always kind of been in us. We've always been just terrible.
Yeah. Like you sitting down to watch your weekly favourite TV show. Say you're, right, I'm going to sit down to watch EastEnders. That's what people were like back in the day. It were, oh, there's six hangings tomorrow.
Jerry's getting hung, did you hear?
Yeah.
What did he do? Well, he fucking nicked a chicken, didn't he?
Yeah.
So there are many who are attracted to and enter into a relationship with those who commit crimes. But what about those who wish to marry their twisted beloved? In Ireland, it is possible, but not a given. In the UK, it was decided in 2024 that under the Victims and Prisoners Act, those serving a whole life order for the most abhorrent of crimes will automatically be banned from marriage or civil partnership. Quote, "This will deny the most heinous criminals from enjoying the important life events they callously took from their victims, while preventing families from the trauma of seeing them getting married or entering a civil partnership." Now, previous to this, prisoners will be able to fill out an application, which would then be reviewed by the governor of the prison, and would only be refused if there were safety concerns. Before this was introduced to the Act, one serial killer who applied was Levi Belfield. Levi is a sex offender, serial killer, and all-around nasty bastard. He's currently serving two life sentences for the murders of 13-year-old Millie Dowler, 19-year-old Marsha McDonnell, and 22-year-old Amelia Delagrange. After spending 2 years corresponding with a woman, Levi was said to have gotten down on one knee and proposed.
What?
Yeah. Former Prime Minister of the UK, Boris Johnson, did not share in their celebrations and was said to have been, quote, sickened and appalled at his request. The former Justice Secretary, Robert Buckland, said, quote, "Millie never got to see her wedding day. It cannot be right that he gets to have his."
Yeah, like, Boris Johnson, all I can see now when anyone mentions his name, like, this was the guy who was running the UK.
Mm.
I watched him and it was about a fucking 5-10 minute video of him trying to put an umbrella up.
Mm.
And then don't forget the fucking, do you remember the parachute?
With the flags?
Yes.
Mm. Now, on the same note, let's not forget about Charles Bronson, old Charlie boy, or as he now goes by, Charles Salvador. Although not a murderer,
as far as we know,
he is known as Britain's most violent prisoner. So I thought I'd give a quick rundown of his time in prison, because if you don't know, I mean, Salvador is quite a character.
He's either got the world's push-up record or pull-up record. I can't remember which.
What, like a Guinness World Record?
He's a strong fucker. Like,
yeah.
He wants to move to Dublin as well.
Does he?
Mm. When he gets out, he wants to live in Dublin.
1974, jailed at the age of 22 for armed robbery and wounding. 1975, attacked another inmate with a glass jug. 1985, participated in a rooftop protest that lasted for 3 days. In 1987, he was released. In 1988, back to prison following the robbery of a jewellery store. 1992, released, and then found guilty of conspiracy to rob. 1994, holds a prison librarian hostage while demanding a helicopter and tea. 1998, holds three inmates hostage. 1999, receives a life sentence plus 3 years for kidnapping. 2014, assaults Alan Parkins, the prison governor. Mm. So not great.
He has a bit of a temper.
He does indeed.
He's supposed to have mellowed out a lot now. Like, he's old now.
I mean, I've never really looked into Bronson. I know you're pretty interested by him.
Mm. He's a very interesting character.
We may cover him at some point, or, you know, if you want to do him for Patreon, for Neil's Nuggets.
Oh, for Neil's Nuggets.
Yeah, would you be interested in covering
him? Maybe, yeah. Like, there's...
You have more interest in him, I think you do a better job.
There's Charles Bronson, and then there's Chopper.
Chopper would be a good one.
He's the Australian.
Yeah.
Bronson, basically.
Mm. Just an absolute fucking character, like.
Yeah.
So again, anyway, not great, his behaviour at times.
Mm-hmm.
But this didn't deter a woman named Paula Williams. Paula Williams, a former soap actress, wrote to Charles after reading his book about his time spent in Broadmoor Psychiatric Hospital. Now, do you hear that the soap actress?
Yeah.
She's previously been in Carrie, Hollyoaks, as well as Emmerdale. There's the tie-in.
I think I've seen that, where she's going around, like, there was someone following her around with a camera, and she'd, like, get phone calls from him and stuff.
I remember watching something about, I can't even remember what the show was about, but I remember there was a thing about Bronson, he was on the phone.
Mm.
I don't think it was her, though. I think this was his previous fiancé.
He must have had a few then.
Mm.
He was like,
oh, he has, yeah.
I remember, like, if you get him on the phone, more often than not, he'll start singing.
He likes the attention.
Yeah.
Mm. Paula said that she wanted to thank him and that his book gave her hope and helped with her mental health. They spent the next 3 years riding back and forth to each other. And in November of 2017, Charles and Paula married in the prison chapel of HMP Wakefield.
I wonder if it was her, because she was waiting. It weren't that long since I saw that. And they was waiting on the wedding day.
Well, he was engaged previous. I'm nearly positive it was his previous partner.
Oh.
Hmm.
I just know it was someone older, but like...
Yeah, no, Paula was only in her 30s.
Oh.
Mm.
Oh, no, it weren't her. Definitely weren't her. It was mutton dressed as lamb.
Yeah, she did say that Charles didn't really talk about his ex-fiancé. And I think it was, she didn't really ask. It was kind of just...
Yeah.
It's not my business.
So you married someone because they wrote a book and it helped with your mental health?
Well, that's how they first started.
Oh.
Getting in contact and communicating.
Each to their own, like.
Paula described Charles as charismatic, witty and cheeky and said, quote, "It's a marvel we make it work." There's that word again. Well, I tell you, Neil, it didn't work for long. Charles filed for divorce the following year after seeing a photo of a man pressing his face into Paula's breasts while she was in Tenerife.
Oh. Mm. See, right. Could you imagine?
That's just Tenerife.
Like, I don't care how old he is. If you were at it with someone and you found out that they were married to Charles Bronson, like, I would just kill myself before he could get to me.
Well, he's locked up. I mean...
You don't think he's got connections?
I mean, he's been locked up the majority of his life. I mean, he could have connections, but, you know.
Like, I always think it's going to be a risk letting him out. Like, he has served a lot of time to say he hasn't been found guilty of committing any murders. But how I portray him, he's such a likable guy until he isn't. If he loses his temper, run.
I don't really get that sense from him. I think he's quite kind of... If I was around him, I'd feel quite uncomfortable. I think everything's a show with him. You've no idea his true personality. That's the sense I get.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, he's obviously got a presence about him. He held three prisoners hostage.
No, but I mean, when you're saying about the likable thing, I don't find him likable. I feel...
Oh, I do.
I feel like that's just all for show and it makes me more uncomfortable. Whereas if he was just a bit kind of aggressive or straight up, I'd be kind of like, well, that's who he is. It's just when he's kind of like, oh, how are you? Da-da-da-da-da. Hi, it's great to talk to you. I'm kind of like, bollocks, it's not great to talk to anyone.
Yeah.
Now, Paula actually passed away in 2019. Her cause of death was determined to be down to multiple drug toxicity. And at the time of her death, Charles was still her next of kin.
So he got it all.
I don't know what she had, what was divided, what the crack was, but apparently Charles was making some less than favourable comments during proceedings.
Okay.
Still a bit bitter over what went down in Tenerife, I think. Mm.
What happened to the good old days? Like, what happens in Tenerife stays in Tenerife.
Beg your pardon?
That's the thing. Tenerife, Benidorm, Ibiza, Magaluf.
I think that's the type of person you are. I don't buy into that shite myself.
Oh.
If you're to cheat on me, whether it be fucking Dublin, Milan, New York, Benidorm, wherever it is, you're still cheating, you know? You're still a swine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Clearly you don't feel the same way. I can bugger off to Tenerife and have at it.
No, I don't agree with it, but it is a thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like what happens in Benidorm stays in Benidorm.
Mm.
Yeah. You're just staring at me now.
What was it you said to me the other day? We were talking about, you brought up celebrities and like the relationships they've had, you know, and they, like the way they all date each other and shit like that.
Yeah.
And you made a comment like, oh, well, you know, when they're successful, they always get people throwing themselves at them and blah, 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 blah.
Because you were saying, like, so I'm 36.
Yeah. But,
so I've only had three proper relationships. Like, I did a lot of messing about when I was a kid, but they were like, you know, I don't like how she's done her hair today, so she's gone. Stuff like that when I was a kid at school. So yeah, proper relationships I've had, I class it as I've had three. And that's including yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You were saying, well, to say how old they are, they've had a lot of relationships. Like,
no, I didn't.
That's what
it was. No, I said the opposite. I said, because the person you were talking about was, I think, 39 years old.
Mm.
So I said, to be 39, if you haven't had long-term relationships, the amount of partners they've had isn't a lot.
Oh, I thought you were saying that they've had a lot.
No.
And I said, well, they're never without company.
Yeah, but I was arguing. I was countering your argument.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wasn't saying it's okay to just go shagging about. I was saying that...
Well, I mean, do what you want as long as everyone's safe.
Well, yeah, and consensual.
Well, obviously.
But yeah, I was saying, you know... When you've made a name for yourself and you're successful, you've always got people throwing themselves at you. So you're never going to be without company, is what I said.
Yeah.
And you had an issue.
No, I didn't. That I didn't have an issue with that. I took your point and I said, so what you're saying is if the podcast takes off and we become wildly successful podcasters.
I'm never going to be without company.
That's what you said to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
You said, well, I'll never be without company. Okay. All right. I know where I fucking stand now. Off to Benidorm, would you? I'll never have to find out, apparently. Now, let's talk about conjugal visits. I think that kind of is part of it, if you're going to be with someone.
That's shagging, isn't it?
It can be. Of course, if you're in a relationship, there's every likelihood that you're going to want to be close to your partner, whether it be the comfort of them next to you, a kiss and a cuddle, or full-on leathering each other out of it.
Yeah. Well, do you know, it must be shit. For prisoners, if you think about it.
Why?
Because there's no spontaneity.
Yeah.
It's never spontaneous.
Yeah.
It's an arranged shag. Every single time.
Yeah.
And then if there is any spontaneousness, then that's a problem.
Yeah.
Because it's another prisoner.
Mm-hmm.
Surprise. It's another prisoner coming into your cell.
What if they've formed? Uninvited. What if they've formed a relationship with said prisoner?
Well, yeah, that's okay.
Mm. You said yourself, consent is very important.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Mm. To your point of the arrangement, they've committed murder or some other various severe enough crime that they're locked up.
So for any listeners...
Do you think they deserve spontaneous rides?
Well, here we go. I'm going to speak out to the public.
Mm-hmm. Going to drop some truth now, are you?
So this might save some lives. To anyone listening, if you're ever thinking of committing a heinous crime, just think any spontaneousness, sexual activities you're going to encounter
is going to
be negative. You have to only
sexual
have,
assault.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can only have organized shagging. Like, think about that before you do anything wrong.
Is your PSA over now? Or
yeah.
Okay. So back to the matter at hand.
Mm-hmm.
Conjugal visits.
So it's literally in the hand.
What?
So it's literally in the hand.
I mean, that's kind of the point, isn't it? They have someone there. So they don't have to always have it in their own hand.
Yeah.
Anyway, conjugal visits. Of course, I'm not going to list every country or region, we'd be here all day. But to name a few, conjugal visits are permitted in varying degrees in, of course, the US. The first state to allow conjugal visits was Mississippi. Now, there's a whole story behind this, but we'll save that for another day.
Mm-hmm.
The US have gone back and forth with conjugal rights. And at the moment, these visits are permitted in just 4 states: California, Connecticut, New York, and Washington. Russia, Denmark, Czech Republic, France, Spain, and Germany all allow conjugal visits. But there has been some concerns raised about the rights to these visits in Germany. In 2010, Klaus Dieter H. beat, stabbed, and strangled a woman to death during a 6-hour conjugal visit.
I didn't even think of that.
Mm. When the guards re-entered the room, they found him laid on the sofa after slashing his wrists. He was treated for his injuries and survived his suicide attempt. Now, Klaus and this woman did not have a relationship previous to his incarceration, but they had formed a bond through letters that they had sent each other back and forth. So she wasn't his spouse or long-term partner. She was a woman who had entered into this relationship knowing his situation.
Yeah. It's a bit of the old pre-med.
Do you think?
Yeah. I think so. That's why he got her in.
In Australia, only some jurisdictions will grant conjugal visitations. In Brazil, men are eligible for conjugal visits, whereas not so much for women, if at all.
What happened to equality?
I know. I assume it's a pregnancy worry. It's still not fair, but...
Well, they have pregnancy wings.
Yeah, but you wouldn't want a load of women pregnant in prison. It's going to cause great expense, and then the... I'm not qualified to speak on it, really, but I imagine it's an awful ball ache.
Mm.
And then how bad would you feel?
What, getting someone knocked up in prison?
No, well, actually, yeah. Them having to go through that in prison. But I mean, in terms of the staff there, and this woman is having to give up her baby after the initial however many weeks or months.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. Apparently in Mexico, they are big on conjugal visits. They seem very keen on keeping families together. And in some prisons, they will allow an entire family to reunite for a period of time. Because, you got to remember, it's not just the sexual side. That's kind of what we most often associate it with. But it is to see the person, to be able to touch them, hug them, anything. Yeah. You know? Conjugal visits are not permitted in Ireland, the UK, Hong Kong, Japan, or New Zealand. But of course, they can always keep in contact through letters or regular visitations. I got to be honest, I kind of went down a rabbit hole with this one. We might come back to conjugal visits for a more in-depth look. It's actually a very interesting topic in itself.
Yeah, well, you saying that about the German, I bet you there's more of that.
Mm.
You know, you're meeting up with a fucking killer.
That's what I mean, right? So if it's your partner and you're going to see them, I mean, I don't want to excuse, but you know, whatever the case may be, like we talked about it with the Bradfield Clark thing. you know, it's not always as easy to cut a person off because they've done something horrific.
Mm.
Or you may feel like you would, but then once you're put into that situation, how easy is it to do? I don't know. I've never...
I feel nothing. I could...
No, but what I'm saying is you've never been in the situation.
Yeah.
A lot of us think it's that easy, in theory. But she wasn't anything to him previous to his crimes.
Yeah, yeah.
She met him knowing he had done X, Y, and Z.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two fourths of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.
But anyway, back to Abristophilia. Let's take a look at a few cases. The Menendez brothers. Not one, but two Menendezes.
Yeah.
Of course, an incredibly high-profile case that, if you're not previously aware of, I'm sure you've been made aware of in the last year or so. The brothers murdered their parents, Jose and Kitty Menendez, within their Beverly Hills mansion. In 1999, Eric Menendez married Tammy Sackerman in the waiting room of the Falston prison, with a Twinkie serving as their wedding cake. Quote, I saw Tammy's letter, and I felt something. I received thousands of letters. But I set this one aside. I got a feeling. When they first started communicating in 1993, Tammy was actually married, but her husband Chuck was said to have known and been okay with her sending letters to Eric.
What?
Yeah.
Well, I suppose if you're just pen pals, it doesn't matter than the sex.
I assume it was more of that type of a thing.
Yeah.
That she probably had compassion after hearing the case and...
Yeah.
You know. In 1996, Tammy's husband turned himself into police after Tammy had found out that he had been sexually abusing her teenage daughter. He died by suicide 2 days later.
Bastard.
Now, his brother Lyle married former model Anna Erickson in 1996. She fucked him off when she found out that he was in contact with another woman. He then... Well,
you can't play the game while you're inside.
He's a bit of a devil.
Be grateful for what you've got.
Well, he didn't just get married and then continue contact with other women. He went on to remarry in 2003 to a woman named Rebecca Sneed.
Sneed.
Okay. I could be pronouncing that wrong. Sned? Sneed? Oscar Ray Bolin, a serial killer and sex offender who targeted young women in Tampa, Florida. Oscar and Rosalie Martinez were married over the telephone in 1996. Rosalie said of her interest in Oscar, quote, I wanted to break out. I wanted to be loved like I've never been loved before. Passion. Someone to put me on an emotional pedestal. Not with material things. Rosalie was married with four kids when she first met Oscar. And as for how they met, she was a part of his defense team.
Oh no, that's not on.
You think?
Yeah, that's, nah. Even I know that.
She also said that she married him not just for love, but to draw attention to his case. Rosalie believed he was innocent.
You can't be doing that on the defense fucking team.
Yeah, it's
and
not.
And then knocking him off.
It's not very appropriate, yeah. I would argue.
She wants sacking.
Well, they remained married until he was executed by lethal injection on the 7th of January, 2016.
Now what's she doing?
Trying to crawl back
to her husband?
Trying to find a new partner through the justice system? I don't know.
This is what, like, what do they think is going to happen? Like, do they think at some point they're going to live happily ever after?
I am not a hybristophiliac. I don't know. I don't understand.
You've literally got a pen pal who you can organise a shag with once a month. That's it.
Well, that's if you're lucky.
Well, yeah.
You know?
That's it. It's a pen pal.
Mm. Yeah, but I don't have any issue. Like, you know, like you said earlier, you know, God bless, do what you want, whatever works for you. That's fine.
Mm.
But when it comes to like brutal fucking murderers and sex offenders, it's like, ah, well, maybe move on to the next lad.
Yeah.
Give him a miss.
This is what I mean. You know, so say.
We're not talking about someone with fucking selling dodgy boxes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Say me and you were mates. Yeah. And you were doing this. You was like, oh, I got talking to old Jeffrey Dahmer, you know.
Old Jeff over there.
Yeah. And I'm going to go and meet up with him. And if I'm like, you can't do that. You're going to put yourself in a room with him after everything he's done. And you'll be like, yeah, but, you know.
You don't know Jeff like I do.
He wouldn't do that to me. And it's like, well, his last victim said that. Like, all his other victims didn't think that was going to happen to him.
Mm.
Fucking idiots.
See, I've actually heard people say stuff like that. People say things like, I don't believe anything bad can happen to me. Like, not that they're literally that ignorant, but they're kind of just in the moment. They're not thinking about it. Whereas my head is always on a fucking swivel. I'm so anxious of anything and everything.
This is what I mean. You hear of killers leading a double life, living a double life all the time. They're not going to do anything to their partner, their wife, who they've built a life with.
Mm.
You're just a pen pal. They will slit your throat.
As soon as look at you.
If they want to, you're fucked.
Mm. Actually, having said that, you told me that when you were younger, you were like that. You had absolutely no fear of anything.
Oh, no, I didn't, no. Yeah. I thought I was bulletproof.
Yeah. See, I've never been like that. But I've always been painfully aware.
But I wouldn't have done a conjugal visit with...
What? Say it again?
I wouldn't have arranged an organised shag with Jeffrey Dahmer.
Myra Hindley? You could have gone more local to your
Myra
area.
Myra Hindley is one of the most ugliest things I have ever seen. Like
Rose West?
Do you know what I think she looks like?
Who?
A bit.
Rose West?
Yeah. In One Foot in the Grave and Benidorm.
Oh, yeah.
She looks a bit... I get that sort of...
No, I don't see what you're driving at all there.
Okay.
Mm. What about the Manson family? I feel like if you're listening to this, and I have to give you a backstory here, then you've probably took a wrong turn. But the Manson family were community/family/cult who were responsible for multiple murders, the most high profile of which was the murder of actress and model Sharon Tate, who was 8.5 months pregnant at the time of her death. Now, I've just said, if I give you the backstory... I feel like you may have taken a wrong turn. Only this morning, I don't know what you were looking at, but you turned to me and said, who's this? And it was a picture of Sharon Tate.
It was famous people's last words. So like Elvis Presley was, I'm going to go to the bathroom and read.
Mm-hmm.
And then hers came up and it was something like, please don't kill me or something.
Well, there you go. I mean, I said to you, we're actually going to mention her. Today in the episode we record.
Yeah.
Turns out we did need the backstory.
Yeah.
Mm. Charles Manson.
We actually went to his arse, didn't we?
What?
In Grand Theft Auto 5, they have his house and we went to
whose house?
Charlie Manson.
No, it's not his house. It's where one of the murders occurred.
Oh.
Mm.
And it's on Ghost Adventures.
It is.
They spoke to Sharon Tate's ghost on Ghost Adventures.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about Charles Manson first. Afton Elaine Starr Burton started writing letters to Charles Manson in 2007 when she was just 17 years of age. At the age of 26, she announced their engagement and a marriage license was granted, but they never went through with the wedding. Although her family disapproved of her relationship with Charles, her father said, quote, we have not, we are not going to, and we never will, no matter what she does in her life, disown our daughter. I love my kids more than life itself.
He was a weird fucker, him, weren't he?
Charles Manson?
Hmm.
What the hell did I just say there? Charles Manson?
Yeah.
Yeah, just constant bullshit spewing from his mouth.
Yeah.
And also to do with this marriage, Charles had his say as well. When asked about it, he said, quote, That's a bunch of garbage. We're just playing that for public consumption.
Playing what?
Getting married. It's a show for the public.
Right.
So, I mean, who knows? Like, was he just manipulating this young girl, or was he just saying that to the public just so he's never really telling the fucking truth? Who knows?
Yeah.
Susan Atkins. Susan Atkins, also known as Sexy Sadie, was another member of the Manson family. She married Donald Lee Legere, an eccentric self-proclaimed multimillionaire, in 1981. Their marriage was annulled not long after she found out that he was not as wealthy as he had claimed, and also that he had been married 35 times previous. That was a bit of a turn-off to her.
Fucking hell.
So Don, bit of a divil there, huh?
Scam artist, by the sounds of it.
Mm. In 1987, she remarried James Whitehouse, a Harvard law student. They remained married until her death in 2009. Now, I'll tell you who wasn't a fan of Susan. Afton. She said of Susan, quote, "That bitch was fucking crazy. She was a crazy fucking whore. Oh, Charlie, I did this for you. She didn't know what she was doing." Afton. Christ. Relax. Bit of a thing there, isn't there?
Yeah. Sound a bit bitter.
Charles Denton Watson, or more commonly known as Tex Watson, was another member of the Manson family. Tex married Kristen Jones Feige in 1979. Kristen and Tex went on to have four children together before conjugal visitations were banned by the California Department of Corrections in 1996 for those serving life sentences. They divorced in 2003.
That's some potent sperm, that.
Well, if they were coordinating the visits with her ovulation cycles, you know, they could have been literally like, "We're having sex to reproduce."
Yeah.
You know, you were given out about the arrangement, you know, the scheduled sex of it all.
Mm.
But I mean, if you want to have a kid, you got to kind of, you got to get it together.
Yeah. Trying for a kid is different to shagging. Like, having a kid is planned, is organized.
Sometimes.
Well, yeah.
Now, what about old Teddy Boy?
Bundy.
Bundy, the one and only Ted Bundy.
Okay.
Serial killer, sex offender, necrophile.
Mm-hmm.
In February of 1980, Ted Bundy married Carol Ann Boone. Now, she didn't seek him out as the notorious serial killer he was now known to be. They had met in 1974 and were friends, or had previously dated, but still, cop on, like.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, "He struck me as a rather shy person, with a lot more going on underneath the surface than what was on the surface." She was also said to have aided him in his 1977 prison escape.
So she's a twat?
Yeah, from the sounds of it, yeah. In 1982, Carol named Ted as the father of her daughter Rose. Although not actual conjugal visits, Carol said that one of the guards was, quote, "real nice and would turn a blind eye."
Oh.
Yeah, I tell you, Carol is her own beast and deserves her own, at least, mini-episode. There's a lot to unpack.
Yeah.
With this situation. Kenneth Bianchi and Angelo Buono, the Hillside Stranglers, responsible for the sexual assault, torture, and murder of multiple women. In 1989, Kenneth married Shirley Joyce Buck. Now, interesting thing about Shirley, Kenneth wasn't her first choice. She had previously tried it on with Ted Bundy.
Oh, so she's just a fucking fruitcake then?
She's definitely, you know, one of those kind of fangirl types. Now, Kenneth definitely had a few ladies who liked the look of him, with one of these women, Veronica Lynn Compton, giving false testimonies and even going as far as attempted murder.
What?
Yeah. Veronica strangled a woman in the Bellingham Motel in an attempt to fool the police into thinking that they had gotten the wrong guy and that the Hillside Strangler was still out there. She had even obtained a semen sample which she planned to inject into the victim. But the woman she attacked was able to fight her off, and Veronica was convicted of attempted murder.
Fucking hell.
That is fucking terrifying. Yeah. Like, the person doing these crimes is bad enough, but the fact that you have some fucking groupie type person
Yeah.
willing to do it for you.
And you can't, and you can't argue pre-med. She had a syringe of fucking spunk.
Yeah, I mean, it's fucking horrifying.
Yeah.
As for Angelo, he met his future bride, Christina Kazuko, while she was visiting her husband in prison, with whom she shared three kids.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. Angelo and Christina's relationship began to blossom as he made phone calls to her on behalf of her husband. They married in 1986, but there was no funny business as, due to his crimes, he was not granted conjugal privileges.
So you wasted your time there.
And last, and arguably the least, one of the big boys of this topic, the heartthrob, if you will, to those affected by hibristophilia, Richard Ramirez.
I knew it was going to... That's Dating Game.
No.
Oh.
No, that's Rodney Alcala. Richard Ramirez is the Night Stalker.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to say this next sentence.
Okay.
And I stand by it. And you're going to know who I'm talking about.
Right.
I think. I don't know with you, if I'm honest with you. Now, the man had great bone structure and a good head of hair in him. And you just can't take that away from him. Now, who is it? Who am I talking about?
Richard Ramirez.
No, but can you picture him? Do you know who I'm on about?
No.
Don't just repeat his name back to me. No. Hang on. Okay, I'm going to have to show you a picture so you know I'm on about.
Like, I remember at the last CrimeCon UK in London, Esther from Once Upon a Crime, on her table, she had this, like, board stood up on a table with pictures of different serial killers. And then she'd got loads of name tags. And you had to put the right name to the right person. If there was 10 people on it, how many did I get right? About 6?
Yeah, you didn't do too bad.
Yeah. But he was one of them I got wrong, I think.
This is Richard Ramirez here, just showing Neil a picture.
Okay.
So, you know, like I said, you can't take it away from the man. Brilliant bone structure, great head of hair. But that's about all you can say for him. There was many, many admirers of Richie.
Was he the one who didn't like BTK?
No.
Oh. I thought there was another killer who was
Israel
like...
Keys.
Oh, okay.
He commented and said he was a... pussy. You say he was a pussy or a wuss or something like that, yeah. There were many, many admirers of Richie. Whether it be women loitering outside the courthouse in hopes of catching a glimpse, those who sent him letters, or the women who cut to the chase and just straight up sent him nude photographs of themselves.
Sad bastard.
Well, this includes one woman who went as far as to send a picture of herself with a rope around her neck. So actually feeding in.
Inviting him in.
Well, I mean, it's no good.
Yeah. Like, waiting outside a courthouse. Like, get a life.
Yeah. It's insane to me. Like I said, the man has great bone structure.
Yeah.
He's fucking great head of hair in him.
Yeah.
But he's also a fucking sex offender and murderer.
Yeah.
Like what?
If you're a reporter or, you know, something like Danny from Danny After Dark.
Icon.
She was doing, Icon. She was doing, what was it, like a week? Where every single day she was going outside the courthouse for...
Karen Reed.
Yeah. She weren't reporting on it. It was just, you know, she was posting it on social media.
Mm-hmm.
She weren't lusting after Karen Reed.
This is what I mean, right? You can
She was lusting after one of the solicitors.
Yes, she was. You can look at a person, or you should be able to look at a person and go, they are attractive. Now, I'm going to move on with my life.
Yeah.
People put so much emphasis onto a person's looks.
Yeah.
It's fucking disgusting, you know?
Yeah, ugly people have, like, stuff about them too.
Ugly people have stuff about them too. Can I quote you on that?
Yeah.
Well, Richard himself addressed the epidemic level of infatuation and said, quote, "They're drawn to me for all sorts of reasons. To get something out of me, to question me. Maybe they're intrigued by murder or murderers. Some are religious, some are sympathetic. They've come to me from different walks of life, these women."
Sympathetic for him.
Yeah, you do get people who like, oh, he's misunderstood, or they don't understand, or this or that, or I don't think he did it.
The evil bastards have locked him up. He's sheltered. He's got food every day. He has a bed. He can play pool. He's got he's got organized shagging to fucking do.
To look forward to.
Yeah. Like.
You don't know, do you, Neil?
They ain't got it as hard as people fucking think.
I mean, it depends on the prison, I suppose.
You know what you do? You don't rape and murder multiple women.
That is some good advice.
Yeah.
That is, yeah.
I was giving advice earlier to anyone listening, you know, if being spontaneous is important to you, don't commit any horrific crimes.
Is that your second PSA of the afternoon?
Yes.
Mm. With all the many, many women who were falling arse over tit for Richard,
mm-hmm.
there was one lucky or unlucky lady who caught his eye. And this was a woman named Doreen Leoy. Doreen said it was love at first sight of his mugshot. Quote, "When I saw this picture, I was just fascinated by the face. It left me with this haunting feeling. Something about his eyes, I think. Whatever there was behind his eyes just pulled me in immediately." That's nausea, Doreen.
Yeah.
Not love.
Remember the mugshot of that black guy with the big neck?
Big neck?
Yeah, he had a big fuck, like, I've never seen a neck like it in my life.
That actually, you saying that, that's another point. Do you remember the photogenic con guy?
Yeah.
Jeremy Meeks.
Mm.
Again, good looking man, but everyone lost the run of themselves. Now, yeah. I can't remember what his charges were, whether they were violent or not. You know, like whether it was more like a danger thing or just like...
I can't remember.
You know, but yeah. Lost the run themselves. He ended up getting with like the heiress to fucking Topshop, having a baby with her and all of this.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I was following that. So I was all in. But back to Richard and Doreen.
Mm-hmm.
They first met in 1988. And in 1999, Richard and Doreen married. They'd started correspondence not long after Richard was arrested. And Richard was said to have been particularly attracted to Doreen after she told him that she was a virgin. Just leave that to sit for a minute.
Yeah.
Sit in the discomfort, Neil.
Gone where no man's ever been.
Doreen has said of Richard, quote, "He's kind, he's funny, he's charming. I just believe in him completely. In my opinion, there is far more evidence to convict O.J. Simpson, and we all know how that turned out." Okay, but one doesn't cancel out the other, Doreen.
Mm.
The couple remained married until Richard's death in 2013. So what do you think? I mean, I think this is a fascinating topic.
Idiots.
I was going to say, I feel like so often within the true crime community, there's people who either romanticize killers or there's those who completely demonize, berate and write off a person, which I personally don't believe either approach is correct. Obviously, don't romanticize these people, but also, if you believe that these people are the worst of humanity, how are we going to stop it if we shut down to any form of understanding as to why or what caused it? Absolutely condemn their behavior, but calling someone evil and closing off communication is not going to give us the ability to further understand or prevent others from perpetrating these crimes.
Like if, right, look at it the other way. If I was the killer and a woman, well, like a man or a woman just started writing me letters.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, just have a chat with him. But if I started getting like nude images of a fucking woman with a rope around the neck or anything, I'm like, shag off. Like, you idiot. Do you know what I've done?
Like, do you know what I'm capable of?
Yeah.
No, I'm in no way
I won't
saying.
Want anything to do with him. I'd be like, you're more unhinged than I am.
Yeah. No, I take your point. Yes, yeah. It's kind of like the Veronica Lynn Compton with The Hillside. It's like, that person did it, that's so bad, but you're copycatting that to impress them.
Yeah.
I think we've talked about it before, it's the bully thing in school and all that. You've got your bullies, and then you've got the wannabe bullies.
Yes.
It's the same thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm in no way saying I condone their behavior. If someone is a violent, you know, whether it's a violent attack, you know, fucking murder, sexual assault, all those smear, like, absolutely fucking not.
Mm-hmm.
But my point being, I don't think romanticizing or writing a person off so we can't further our understanding.
Yeah.
I don't think either extreme is the right way to go. I think it also creates this narrative that people who commit these crimes are monsters, ghouls, kind of lying in wait. Mm. When in reality, it's quite often your neighbour, co-worker or family member. Although I understand the temptation to do so, it doesn't do us any good to try and distance ourselves from the truth. I believe it's actually quite dangerous. Serial killers are not these mythical beings, and we shouldn't be ignorant to the fact that they are just another human being who, for whatever the reason may be, or illness affecting them, decided to commit the most grotesque and inhumane acts. But anyway, that was a look into hybristophilia. Neil, thoughts?
Idiots.
Not about it?
No, nothing. Nothing about it.
What about the person who stays married? Do you have any leeway for that? Again, like I said, I don't know. I've never been in the situation. I'd like to say I just go, fuck you, and walk away.
Yes.
But I can't say that. I don't know.
I can. I know I would. I wouldn't bat an eyelid.
You wouldn't stand for it.
Well, I definitely wouldn't go back to the prison and shag him. Like, I wouldn't be in a relationship with them.
Mm-hmm.
I might, like, very minimal stay in contact with them, but I wouldn't be with them.
Oh, you mean you'd still have some level of compassion for the person because they've been in your life, but you don't want any romantic...
Yeah, like, it depends as well, like, if they're...
It's kind of the person you once knew, but you don't want anything to do with who they are now.
Yeah, like, right. If they was mentally ill,
mm-hmm.
then I would stick around. Like, I wouldn't be with them, but I would, you know, at a distance, stay, like, hang around.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was just heinous, that they're evil, no, get fucked.
Well, this is kind of the point I was making. You know, I feel like words like evil and monster and all kind of get thrown around a lot. We see them used so often for titles of true crime documentaries or dramatizations.
Mm.
And I don't know, it always kind of bothers me. And I have to be honest, I'm quicker to kind of skip the shows. Or if I do watch them, they're already on the back foot with me.
Yeah.
Once they're using titles, like you said, like monster and evil and all this. And it's kind of like, can we not attempt to understand why it's happening? It's never going to stop in the future. If it's just they're a bad person, lock them up. Why did they do it? What was the reason? What was affecting them? What happened?
Yeah.
It may not be a good enough reason, but we know and we can work off that.
Well, the bit what always annoys me is, oh, well, they had a troubled childhood. Yeah, so there was a lot of fucking people.
Yeah. Well, that's...
And it makes them more compassionate.
Yeah, that's a very good point as well, because it's the argument over what is justifiable, you know... Everyone goes through trauma in their life. What is justifiable as, you know, a factor? What is something we can factor into why a person has got to the point that they're doing these things versus you're using that as an excuse for why you have done it?
Yeah. It's like, right. So I can't remember what case it was. This will be in multiple cases anyway, but it's like, right, I'm not trying to downplay it. I remember there's at least one I was watching, and it was the father used to beat the mother.
Mm-hmm.
And they was a witness, as children, they was a witness to it. And it's like, that has nothing to do with...
It's Chris Brown, that. That's what he said. He did.
That has got nothing to do with, when I got older, I started raping and murdering women because my father beat my mother in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
you should become more of a protector of women, if anything.
It just sounds like excuses. You know, like, I'm just waiting to hear someone say, oh, well, Jeffrey Dahmer, he was just hungry.
Right, well, now.
Like, he just wanted something to eat. Like, it's just like, when does it end? When does the excuses
mm-hmm.
end?
But I think, like, that is my whole point. I think some people get annoyed at me. They think I'm too kind of compassionate towards someone who's committed a horrific crime. It's not that. I am in no way condoning the act.
Yeah.
But can we not learn from it? Can we not try and distinguish?
Yeah.
And figure out what is actually fucking going on here?
Yeah.
What's the point of talking about it if you're just going to go, fucking evil bastard, blah, 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 blah. What's the point of that?
Yeah. Like, I get what you're saying about the evil thing.
Mm-hmm.
But one, what... straight away comes to mind when I think evil, and they was evil, was the two lads who killed that boy.
Jamie Bulger case.
Yes, they're evil.
Well, that is a fascinating case, because there's obviously the argument there of a juvenile committing the crime and what punishment should they get. And then it turns out years later, one of them is still offending.
Yes.
The other one, as far as I'm aware, I haven't looked into the case for a while, but one of them has kind of gone on and is leading his life. The other one kept reoffending, and particularly to do with, if I'm correct, was it child pornography?
Yes.
So yeah, that's... Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Don't miss Scarpetta, a propulsive new crime thriller starring Academy Award winner Nicole Kidman, Academy Award winner Jamie Lee Curtis, Emmy winner Bobby Cannavale, with Emmy nominee Simon Baker and Academy Award winner Ariana DeBose. Scarpetta follows Dr. K. Scarpetta, Nicole Kidman, a brilliant and no-nonsense chief medical examiner, as she investigates a haunting murder that strangely parallels her first major case from decades earlier. Is the case that made her the case that breaks her? Based on the best-selling crime novels by Patricia Cornwell, Scarpetta is both a crime thriller and messy family drama that will keep you on the edge of your seat. Get ready to hunt a serial killer in the satisfying series with terrifying twists and an ending you won't see coming. Watch all episodes of Scarpetta now, only on Prime Video.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
So, oddity.
Oddity. The Somerset Gimp.
What?
I don't know how to make any clearer. The Somerset Gimp. The Gimp of Somerset.
My dad used to call me Gimp.
Did he?
Yeah.
Not from Somerset, though.
No, but he used to call me Gimp. No, not Gimp. Sorry. No, he didn't call me Gimp. No.
What is happening?
He called me Gonk.
Gonk?
Yeah.
Really punched the K there, didn't I?
She used to call me Gonk, meaning like idiot.
Oh, that was a nice one. It's a lovely little pet name, isn't it? So I take you haven't heard of the Somerset Gimp.
No. Is this going to be like Catman, with someone running around with a Gimp mask?
Yeah, so a somewhat similar character, possibly with more sinister intentions. First sighted in November of 2018, the man stalks the streets in a rubber suit. Encounters with this man include him jumping out in front of cars, as well as approaching a group of teenagers before dropping to the floor and writhing around while grunting. But as with Catman, he has divided opinion. Quote, "There is some disquiet among people who worry that they may come across him late at night, but there is also sympathy that this individual may have problems."
He will have a fucking problem if he comes across the wrong people. This is not the same as fucking Catman, right? I can understand, but there is that side of, you know, it could be mental illness in play.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, this is a sick fucker. This is a sick bastard.
Well, it has been questioned whether this is a fetish, and his behaviour has been branded as creepy and frightening, while others consider him harmless or even worried for his well-being.
Harmless is running around in a gimp suit.
You're all for Catman.
If I had to pick between the two?
Yeah. Oh, no, I go with Catman over this guy.
Yeah.
If you're making me choose.
Do you know what this is? This is some funny little fucker. That's what it is. Clever little twat.
You think he's just doing it for the laugh?
Probably.
Well, one person decided to actually make money out of the situation and had t-shirts, hoodies and mugs printed with a photo of the man. But I tell you someone who is not a fan, the Gimp Man of Essex. Have you heard of him?
There's another one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, but he's kind of in a different category. The Gimp Man of Essex, he believes that this man is giving the Gimp community a bad reputation. The Gimp Man of Essex dresses in a black latex suit while just going about his day-to-day business. He states that he is always mindful of anyone who looks uncomfortable and encourages those who want a photo to go right ahead. He's also used his influence to raise money for mental health charities.
Oh, so I like him.
So, over in Essex, they're doing it. He's doing his thing.
Yeah.
Just likes a bit of latex.
But this other little twat, he wants some shoe leather, is what he wants.
In 2023, the enigmatic Somerset Gimp was unveiled to be local man 32-year-old Joshua Hunt, a self-employed gardener. Joshua was arrested and later convicted of intentionally causing harassment, alarm, or distress. A sexual risk order was imposed, meaning that Joshua will be placed on the sex offenders register for 5 years.
See, is it worth it? People are going to automatically think you're a pedo.
Well, he's also been given a curfew and is to remain within his home between the hours of 9 p.m. and 6 a.m.
So
and he.
So he's on ASBO and all?
I thought ASBO was for kids, was it not? Is that not like the underage thing? No.
Well, ASBO, you're on tag.
Okay.
You're on a curfew.
Okay. Well, yes. Somerset Gimp is no longer active. He has also been banned from wearing gimp suits in public for 5 years, as well as any face covering unless for medical reasons. In total, Joshua has been linked to 25 incidents.
Good riddance.
So that's the Somerset Gimp.
Twat.
Hmm. See, I had a few reservations to do with Catman, but I have to admit, this guy seems a little bit more...
Sinister.
Yeah.
Yeah. Evil. Some might say.
So you're not okay with this lad then?
No, not at all.
But you're still on Catman's side?
Yes. I don't know what's actually going on with the Catman, but if I saw him, I wouldn't be approaching to do harm.
Mm-hmm.
This twat, I'd run him off.
Oh, he's just jumping out in front of cars.
Yeah,
that's a bit...
I'd just carry on driving.
Also, the fact that a group of teenagers was one of the people he went over to.
Yeah.
Not loving that.
No. I'm telling you now, he's lucky... But he weren't in Sheffield when he was doing that because a group of teenagers there had to kick lumps out of him. Definitely.
Thank you so much for listening. Find us on Patreon, TikTok, Facebook and Instagram. If you have a case suggestion or maybe even your own story, email us at mortalmusingspodcast@gmail.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two fourths of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.